We read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20. Our text is found in verses 20 and 21 of this chapter. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. We stop in our reading of the Word of God at that point. Our text is found in verses 20 and 21. There we read, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the valley of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." On Old Year's Night, we looked at the first part of this chapter. And as we did, we saw that Jehoshaphat and Judah were caught by great surprise by the presence of the armies of three different nations, large armies. The nations were the descendants of Lot, Moab and Ammon, and of Esau, the residents of Mount Seir. They were positioned as they came out by Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gerai, a location that is approximately 15 miles away from Jerusalem itself. And the position of those three, the armies of those three nations, made it so that it was impossible for Judah and Jehoshaphat to gain any victory. A defeat was almost a sure thing. According to their flesh, they had nothing, no hope whatsoever that they would be able to withstand them. That's when we looked at and saw that Jehoshaphat and Judah's response, as we have it in verses 3 and 4, was that they prayed. He set himself to seek Jehovah. He was determined that he was going to look only at his God and look for help only from his God. From the one who he saw had established a relationship with him. Jehovah indicates that. The ever self-sufficient one, who didn't have to, was pleased to establish a relationship with Judah. His house was there in Jerusalem. And so, as he prayed, verse 12, "We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." To seek is to put one's mind's eye on Jehovah, to consider him. Consider his greatness, consider his majesty, consider his promises, consider his law, consider his will. Look at God. Look at his providential creation of all things. Look at his providential sustaining of all things. Look at the fact that nothing happens but by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Seek him. That's what Jehoshaphat was resolved to do. We consider the answer to that as God gave it to Jehoshaphat in Judah. Because in his continuation, the very next day, they gathered. He resolved to seek, to set his face, to seek Jehovah. They prayed, and God answered. God answered immediately, which required activity on their part the next day. And they did it promptly. They rose early, and they went out, singing in assurance of victory. Because the command of Jehoshaphat then was this: believe the Lord Jehovah your God, so shall ye be established. We take that as our theme from verse 20. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Jehovah, your God, so shall ye be established. The prayer, the faith, the victory. Jehoshaphat in Jerusalem and Judah faced three enemies: the two descendants of Lot, Moab and Ammon, and the descendants of Esau, Mount Seir. We constantly face three enemies: the devil, the world, and our flesh, our old man. It's not that we're so weak we can't defeat that trio. We're so weak we can't face and believe we can defeat any one of them. Any one of them. the Satan, the world, our flesh, is stronger than any one of us, than all of us. We have to take that position constantly, every day. Wake up, go to bed. We know not what to do. We have no strength against this great company. So often the Lord sends us difficulties and trials, and we saw that that was the sort of occasion for this event in the history of the life of Jehoshaphat and Judah. They were doing what was right. Jehoshaphat had just established judges that he sent out through all the land, urged them to judge in the fear of the Lord, to establish the fear of the Lord in the nation. He didn't want it only for himself, he wanted it for his flock as well. And then we read in verse 1, it came to pass after this, they were doing what was right. God, we saw, often sends difficulties and trials that we often respond to by saying, Lord, deliver us from the problem. But God is content to send the problem because he just wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to look at him. And isn't it often the case that we seek him when we need him? It's troubles, it's difficulties that really make us find him and look for him. It's when we're weak and when we don't know what to do. That's when we are more urgent and sincere in our prayers. So we put our eyes on him. And we learn to live in the consciousness of our needing to put our eyes on him. But then when we look at him, that doesn't show us some mighty army that will be able to be on our side. Yes, he assures us, as he did Elisha's servant, open his eyes, Lord, and you saw the angels of the Lord encamped round about. But the victory that is ours is going to come by faith. Not by faith achieving something, but simply by faith that seeks Jehovah, that believes him. Because faith is the victory. Not what faith does, but faith is the victory. Because faith shows us our union and connection with Jesus. So Judah and Jerusalem gathered as many as could within a short period of time. Very short period of time. They saw a common need. In not an unsimilar, but not in an exact same way, very similar activity took place after 9/11/01. An attack on the Twin Towers in New York City caused the citizens of the United States to gather. It was the occasion for some of us to gather together in one of our churches that very night to read and to pray. Nobody wanted to be home alone. Even during the day as the event was taking place, we wanted to be with others. We wanted to be not alone, but together. Judah, all Judah, called by Jehoshaphat, came together. They had a common God. They had a common enemy. They exist and stand not as individuals, but as a body. Even with their little ones. Jehoshaphat led in a prayer. A prayer that showed they and he were seeking Jehovah. Verse 6. He identified God as Jehovah and then God of our fathers. The God who made a promise in a relationship with Abraham that he would be Abraham's friend, but who added, not only Abraham will I be with you as a friend, but in the way of your instructing your children, I will give it to your children after you. So when Jehoshaphat calls upon God as the God of our fathers, then he is calling upon God and reminding God that we are yours in generations. We are of those fathers. As they called upon thee and as they experienced that relationship with thee, so we do. Second, in his identification of God, he called upon God, recognizing him to be the God of heaven who rules over all the heathen. When there are things that come against us, for them, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, he identified them as heathen. But he also said, God, our God, is the God of the heathen. Those heathen don't come and move and draw near to attack us, but by the will of our God, the God of our fathers. So this is not a mistake. This is what we are to face according to his will. And so we. There's all sorts of afflictions and troubles that come in our lives. Often, it's the sins of others. There's marriages. There's relationships. There's difficulties. There's cancers. God is to be seen. Our God is to be seen as the God of those as well. So that when we respond to them and need to respond to them and feel overwhelmed by them, then we're not going to look at horizontally and have our focus only that way on them, but we're going to look up and seek Jehovah and see that he is the God of these. And these events and these crosses and these trials are in our life by his will, according to his determination, the will and determination of our God. Thirdly, he identifies God and says the God that we're going to seek and the God we have to believe in is the God against whom none are able to withstand. There's no cross that he places on us that's too heavy for him. There's no obstacle or difficulty that we face. Not only that's not there by his will, but that he cannot control. Jehoshaphat continued in his prayer by reminding Judah and Jerusalem and himself, as well as God, that this God who is our God, who is the God of all these events and these enemies, and who is the God before whom none can withstand, is also a God who has showed in the past his love and care. And in that past, by seeking and believing in Jehovah, we're looking at one who has in the past given abundant evidence of the nature of his relationship with us. See, our conscience that accuses us, as we read of it from Lord's Day 23 this morning, and the devil is constantly telling us, this problem is a brand new problem. This problem is a difficulty and a cross that's too heavy for you to bear. And God has changed his relationship. And regardless of what his attitude is in the past, he is now angry with you. And this is a trial that he is using to get at you and to punish you. Jehoshaphat and Judah and us have to look at this God who has brought these events to pass in our lives. And say to ourselves, wait a minute. That Jehovah is I am. And that not only means that he is self-sufficient, that also means that he is unchangeable. What has been the history of his relationship to us? When we're fretting and afraid right now with what we're faced with, then he says, wait a minute, stop. How has he cared for you and his church in the past? Did he ever fail? Do you think he's going to start to fail right now in this problem? Look at him. Believe him. He is the God who gave you this land as his possession, as an inheritance. He gave you. He drove out all of the enemies and the inhabitants of this land from before you. You live in houses as your parents did. They lived in houses they didn't have to build. They moved right into beds that they didn't even have to make. The sheets and the blankets were on them. They plucked fruit off the vineyards and the gardens that were already planted. The wells were already dug. They moved right in. That's how he cared. Do you think he's going to stop caring for you that way now? He enabled Jude to build a house for him, a sanctuary, a temple. And when Solomon dedicated that temple, Jehoshaphat quotes a part of that prayer at that dedication. 1 Kings 8. When we face evil, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, and we come to this place and we call upon thee, Lord, for thy help, then hear and help. That was the promise made then. Now we're using this situation, this difficulty, as an opportunity to seek to believe. To look up. These enemies, God told them not to attack. See how they reward our good? That's often what we say, isn't it? We think we do something right, and what comes back at us, it isn't fair. It's not right. Jehoshaphat and Judah said, see how they reward us? Hear, Lord. Hear and save. We put our eyes on thee. That's just another way to say, we're going to believe on thee. Jehovah answered. A Levite had the Spirit of Jehovah come upon him. And again, it is very interesting that at the end of verse 14, we're told that the Spirit of the Lord came on him in the midst of the congregation. God gives his Spirit and grace to those who sincerely and continually ask for them of him. But so often, God gives that spirit in the midst of the congregation. Not that suddenly one in the midst of a congregation stands up, but that in the experience of the body, as we walk and labor together, the Spirit speaks. We believe that that Spirit uses the public proclamation of the pure gospel, where the saints assemble together and are encouraged constantly not to forsake the assembling of themselves together, because that's where the Spirit reveals to us, now, the Spirit speaks through the preaching. And in the Spirit-led preaching, shows us Jehovah, our God. Helps us to see again and more clearly, and reminds us who he is, what he's done, how great he is, what relationships he's established, and the nature of the gospel. The good news is, look at him. Don't look sideways. Look up. In the midst of the congregation, that Spirit came. And the very first thing that Jehaziel said is the very first thing that Jehoshaphat said. Jehaziel said, "Hearken, hearken." Jehoshaphat said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Children, do you know what hearken means? It's the same thing as when your parents say, "Look at me. Listen." And when they usually say that, then often, before the parent can go any further, the child says, "But..." Listen. Shh. Quiet your tongue. Quiet all the thoughts that are going through your, racing through your mind. Just listen. We rush. And in our thinking and fury, we begin to fear and to fret. We wonder about tomorrow. What about the next day? And what about after that? Shh. Listen. Hearken. Hear. Just quiet down. Don't look ahead either. Listen. Right now, put yourself in a position and in a frame of mind to listen to God. In the new dispensation, Jesus put it this way: "My sheep are the ones who hear my voice." A couple of weeks ago, I don't know how long ago, we talked about prayer. What it is to seek the Lord. Why seek the Lord? Or in prayer, what does it mean to pray? To pray is to answer what you've heard God say to you. Your God, your friend. He has talked to you in so many ways. He's always speaking. Do we listen and hear Him? And then there's special times when our minds are racing and we're all scared and afraid and we've got all kinds of buts. He says, listen. Listen. Believe me. Believe in Jehovah your God. Again, we want to say, you make it sound so easy. No. No. But God does want to make it simple. It is not complicated. It's not a long list of what to do's. It's a very, very simple. It is hard. And the difficulty is because we've got that flesh. That's what makes it so hard. But the answer is simple. Hearken. Believe in Jehovah. Look at Him. Have your mind filled with Him. Think on these things. Faith, believe, holds for truth what He has said in His Word. Believe that what He said, He means. When He tells you He loves you, when He tells you that His grace is rich, that His mercy is a multitude, believe. When He says, I will lay crosses on you in order to shape you and to mold you and to form you so that you look more and more like Christ. But I call you with the assurance that I do this because I love you. Believe. So shall ye be established. Believe as prophets. So shall ye prosper. When He said, believe as prophets, then Jehoshaphat was pointing to the words of Jehaziel. Believe what He said. For us today, it would be, believe His word. Believe what He, in His prophetic word, has said. Now you've got to know it. You've got to look it up. But again, it's not complicated. It's simple. The Lord, that Jehovah, He is your shepherd. You don't and you shall not have any want. He makes you lie down by taking every reason for you to be afraid away. And He already, you know what He says? I am with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to run away from you. So, the opposite of believe is, don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Fear and dismay, discouragement, defeat, it's no good, it's no use. That's the opposite of believing. Looking, seeking Jehovah. Faith holds to God's sovereignty. Faith believes that our battle against sin is His and not ours. It's really His. Faith believes that we don't have to defeat sin. Jesus already did. That we don't have to earn to be good enough. because Jesus already accomplished all our righteousness. Just stand still. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. One against, I have to say it again. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know those words from Psalm 73, the last part? Again, one of the first songs, Psalted Numbers, maybe we memorized. Sometimes those simple words carry so much truth that we don't even appreciate. In communion, sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. I do? Yes, I do. Because my hand thou holdest in thine own to keep me near thy side. Not because I'm there, but because you hold my tiny little hand in your hand to keep me right there. Believe. Faith, when exercised, sees Jehovah. Sees forgiveness. Sees righteousness. The battle is against sin. This morning we learned about the forgiveness of sins and our righteousness in Jesus Christ. I believe that the Spirit would work that in such a way within each one of us that the result of that was that at one time or another, ever since this morning, we did this. We thanked Him. And you don't just thank Him for forgiveness. You praise Him. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. You praise a majesty who is holy. That's the way He said it. Sing that they should praise the beauty of holiness. The holy majesty of God. So holy that He doesn't have somebody near His side except He makes them holy as He is holy. So I must be holy. I am in Christ. He keeps me near His side. If I have any reason to fight against every sin that's in me, it's because He keeps me near His side. I praise Him for His holy majesty. I thank Him that His mercy is always there for this rotten, miserable sinner. But He loves me, and He forgives me. And it's always there, and it's never going to stop until He takes me home. That's why we sing, even at a graveside. Sometimes when we watch loved ones die, we can't. We're choked. But we want to, and our heart does. Because there's hope. The battle is God's. And He's won. And the victory is ours simply by believing. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Believe. And so shall ye be established. Believe, and so shall ye prosper. So Jehoshaphat said, before we fight, we're going to sing. were already victors. Our flesh says, don't sing until after you've won. You already have won. The victory is yours. And in that faith, that wasn't looking at the enemy, and wasn't looking ahead, but was believing in Jehovah our God, they obeyed promptly. They rose early. In further obedience, they went down against them. They set themselves. They stood still. And they believed that God was going to be with them. And as they went out, they sang as a reminder, a constant reminder, because my flesh keeps coming back. So they kept singing, His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. They kept singing. That's why Psalm 106 says that 26 times, because we need to be told it that many times. Because we're inclined to say, but so many times. So he says, no, my mercy endures forever. Look at me, believe. And they went out. And notice, when they began to sing and praise, Jehovah set ambushments. God's sovereignty and human responsibility, we can't figure it out, but we sure can see both together. Beautifully harmonized. There they are. They sang. That was the occasion for God to set ambushments. What those ambushments were, we don't know. But the two brothers, Moab and Ammon, went after their cousin, Lot's descendants, or Esau. And they killed them all off. Every single one. There wasn't one just injured. They were all dead. And then Ammon and Moab fought against each other until the last two men killed themselves. And here comes Judah singing. And they're all dead. And not just dead, but what was rather amazing about these three armies is that they didn't come to take spoil. They came just to defeat Israel. They came as victors. They were confident of their victory. But they carried so much riches and so many jewels with them that when Judah came, it took them three whole days. Seven men thought it was a long time to spend 4 hours to move the envelopes. It took three whole days and a whole army to pick up all the jewels and spoil out of those three armies. And say, they called it the Valley of Blessing, the Valley of Beraka. Beraka means blessing. They experienced the blessing of God there. They experienced the blessing that comes to them in the way of faith. And in their thanks, they praised again. And they kept praising. With psalteries, with harps, with trumpets, unto the house of the Lord. Sing. Believe and sing. So many times the words that God gives to us, His word versified. Sing with understanding. I want to hear the choir tonight. But my prayer is that those kids will believe what they sing. That they'll know what they're singing. And that they'll minister to us. And we'll sing with them. But the theme is going to be believe and sing. So shall you be established. That's your strength, your faith. Amen. Our Father, bless this word to us. In our weakness, we need to know where our strength is. Show us that we're weak so we know where our strength is. That has to happen too. Our strength is in Thee. So give us Thy blessing. Encourage us with this word. Lift our eyes up so that we look and behold Thee, our God. And then may we listen. Listen to Thee. Tell us, be still and know that I am God. Thanks, Father. May we hear Thee, and may our faith be strengthened. Amen.